walking in divine favor. And I do believe we're going to get through with that today. At least that's my intent, to get through with that today. And I don't know about you guys, but this has excited me. I am truly excited about understanding destiny. Amen. You know, I keep saying divine favor. I just want to stay on favor. But I mean divine. We've been studying the subject of divine destiny. I'm going to get, but I just, that favor just won't get out of my head. You know, it's a good thing. But anyway, I'm excited to understand, to know that there is destiny. Amen. Dornia, would you do me a favor right quick and turn the volume down on that for me? I'm excited about God's blessing that's up on the ministry. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for... Never mind. All right. Praise God. And I'm excited about it because I want God's blessing and I want God's favor to be so up on the ministry. And I want everybody in here to get in their slot, because there is a slot for us to get in. And when we get into our slot and we start doing the thing that God has birthed us into the earth to do, our lives become fulfilled. Amen. And that's what humanity is looking for, a fulfilled life. So I give God praise and I give God glory for that. And this morning, you know, I was sitting there and I got up pretty early and I got the chance to see Kenneth Copeland ministry this morning's broadcast, and it just fired me up. Oh, they gave a prophecy on there, and it just encouraged my heart, and I know, and it's a wonderful thing. I said to my wife, it's a wonderful thing to be on the front end of God's move. For years, we've been on the back end of God's move. I have, in different ministries, and you go somewhere to a conference, and you hear God start talking about the different things that's going on. And it's like, wow, you know, and you get it, but you get it like as a leftover. But I am so grateful to be on the front end and for God to be able to impart wisdom and revelation over here for me. And then we share, and then we go out places and seeing that we're right in tune with where the Holy Spirit is doing across the country and across the world. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to be on the front end of God's moves. All right. All right. Now, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. And Father, we declare that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened in this place. And we declare that we're coming to the expectation to which we've been called, which we've been birthed into the earth. And we declare that we're coming into the full revelation of your power that's in us and that is for us. And we're coming into the revelation of your word and of the righteousness of God. And we declare that we will walk in this earth and be the ambassadors that you've spoken over us. And we will be the lights of righteousness in this city and in this earth. And we will walk the divine destiny and reach our final destination point to where you have predestined for us to show up and arrive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, grab your Bibles and let's get into it. And let's deal with this ending part of walking in divine destiny. Amen. And let's read... our foundation scripture where we've been coming from, Jeremiah the 29th chapter. Amen. And all of these points and principles that we've dealt with over the last few Sundays here are actually steps that you should take to finding out and lining your life up with the purpose that what you've been birthed in the earth to do. I mean, Sunday mornings and when we've been teaching these lessons aren't just for me to have something to talk about. No, I'm really honestly giving you what God gave to me because I wanted to preach righteousness, but the Lord says, no, preach destiny. So what I've actually given unto you are step-by-step instructions on how to focus your life in on to a point to where you are doing exactly the thing that you've been birthed to do. You're not wondering about it, you know, and you're not doing 15 different other things and finally figuring out, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, you don't waste 25 years of your life. You know, you don't did that. You don't did all of, you don't did 20 things. You know, you don't, you was a school teacher. You was a carpenter. You was a truck driver. You know, you was a policeman, a fireman, and you still haven't figured it out. You know, I was looking at Oprah the other day, and it had some people on there that have worked and went to school and worked for in careers and went and spent many years trying to learn the world's wisdom on how to do a certain job, just to get in that job and find out they really didn't want to do it at all. And And now they've wasted all those years and all of that money to get that education. And they ain't even doing what they're doing now in life has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what they went to school for. But if they had met the man named Jesus, gave their life to Christ, got born again, and then focused their life on, now what am I birthed into this earth to do, and lined their life up on that path and in that slot, then they would have, all that time they would have saved. And they would have been doing exactly the thing that God birthed them into the earth to do. So now let's look at Jeremiah 29:11, the foundation of scripture. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So there we have right there, God saying, look, you ain't got to wonder about what you were birthed to do. I know what you were here to do. I'm the one put you here. I know exactly why I birthed you into this earth. And you don't have to wonder. You don't have to be in confusion about it. Because I know the thoughts and I know the plans. Now, and the thoughts and the plans that I know, notice, they are not for evil. God does not do evil in the lives of people. It does not come from him. The Bible tells you who the evil one is. And the evil one is the devil, the father of darkness. Now, God is not the father of darkness. He's the father of light. So he does not produce evil. Amen. So when there's evilness showing up in your life, you ought not get nervous and let the devil come tell you, see what God did. You ought not let somebody come tell you, if God was such of a good God, then why would this happen? That wouldn't even be, you wouldn't even second guess it. And when you come across the lives of other people that are saying that, well, God killed my daddy, God killed my mother, God did that, then you will be able to help them and show them in the word where God does not produce evil. He is the God of life. He is the God of love. Amen. And you will help get them on track and to pull their heart back to God instead of the devil trying to deceive them and trick them and end them up in destruction. Amen. So he says he is not for evil, he's for your peace, and he's to bring you into your final expectation. Amen. Now, then it says, verse 12 says, "Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." The reason most Christians don't really get born again, but the reason they really don't tap into the potential of their life is because they quit seeking God. You got to stay with God. It does me no good if I was going to school. Well, if I was going to school to be a chiropractor, it would do me no good to do the first 2 years and say I'm going to forget the rest and I'm still going to go do chiropractic. I'm going to really hurt somebody. I'm getting ready to break somebody's back. Now, how the heck do I know? Now, my destiny is to be a chiropractor. That's what I'm going for. Now, I did 2 years and said, forget the other 2 years, and I'm still going to go out there and try to do it. Wait, there's not a person in this country that would license me. Well, I hope there's not a person in this country that would give me a license. And then I hope would nobody come to my practice. Well, what school did you graduate from? Well, I know I started out at Harvard for 2 years, but I quit. Well, how am I ever going to be a professional or be proficient at the skill of being a chiropractor and I quit? Well, it's the same way with God. We get over here on God's side, you know, we give God a couple of years after we get saved because, you know, that good feeling's on us. And some people don't even give him a couple. Some people give him a few months, a few years, you know, a couple of years. Then all of a sudden, you know, we stop. Well, what do you think is happening when you stop? Anything, look into the law of physics. Anything that comes to a point where it stops, it starts to do what? Fall. It starts to lose ground. But as long as that gun is propelling forward, shooting straight up in the air, it's going straight up, it's going, and it's moving. It's reaching whatever the target is going at. But the moment that bullet reaches a certain point and it stops, the only thing left for it to do is to start falling. And then they tell me when I took physics class that the exact rate that the bullet went up in the air, when it gets back to the point where it was released from, it's going just as fast. So what is that saying? The moment you stop and you start falling, when you hit bottom, you're going to hit bottom at the same rate as what you took off. So most people get saved and they shoot out the gun and going, and then you stop and you wonder how come you see people's lives and they're so jacked up. Like, dang, I think they just got saved last year and they was on fire. Now you're seeing they're the worst of sinners in the world. Why? Because they stopped. They did not keep going after God. And God has destiny up on in the lives of everybody in this room and every born-again believer and everybody in the world. But you got to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. You got to press into the Word. You got to study the Word. You got to continue to be in God's face, inquiring, because the Bible says, when you seek after me with all your heart, then will I be found. There's a scripture in the Gospels that says that he that keeps seeking, he that keeps knocking, he that keeps asking, keep seeking, you'll find. Keep knocking, the door will be open. Keep asking, you will receive. Amen. So stay in God's face. Stay in his face. Don't come out of God's presence. You get yourself, you fix it in your mind that this is where I'm going to stay, and this is my life. I've decided that I'm going to live a godly life. I've decided I'm going to live a life of power and a life of victory, and I'm going to stay standing right here in your presence. I'm not going anywhere, because I've tried the other stuff. There's no hope out there, but as long as I'm hearing you, there's hope. There's expectation, amen? And I know that as long as I got expectation in you, the Bible said that kind of expectation will not be denied, amen? And then he goes on and says, and I will be found of you, verse 14, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Now, captivity means you're imprisoned. So it's saying, I know the thoughts, I know the plans I have for you. I know that they're for peace, they're not for evil, they're to bring you to a point of your final expectation in life. And it says, seek me, search for me with all your heart. You'll find me, and then I will be found of you, and I'm going to turn away your imprisonment. Now, that means when you gave your life to Christ, and there's a lot of born-again believers are still, even though they're saved, born-again, but they're still locked up and bound and tied up in things. Why? They've not pursued God any further than the initial salvation experience. But the Bible here is saying that if you're going to reach destiny, he has to turn away your captivity. Amen. Now, when I started studying that on last week, that it was interesting because a scripture came to mind, and I want us to look at it, and it's found in Zechariah, the 9th chapter. So let's look at Zechariah, the 9th chapter, because God said he's going to turn away our captivity. In order for me to walk in divine destiny, things that have me bound, I have to be loosed from. See, you won't reach your destination tied up. But there's enough power available in the born-again believer to totally disconnect. The Bible says that the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. Well, people, the container of the anointing dwells in you, because it is the Holy Spirit that carries the anointing of God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of the believers. Amen. So you have the anointing in you. Most people just don't tap it. That's why I'm saying the potential of life, the potential of a totally victorious life is in you as a believer right now. Jesus Christ walked the earth as a man and lived it victoriously every single day of his life. And he did it to be an example to show us that we can do the same thing if we're willing to submit ourselves to God as he did. Amen. All right. Now, really look at this. It's verse 9, Zechariah verse 9. Let's look at verse 11. It says, as for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent thee forth out of the pit where is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I have rendered double unto you. Now let me read that from the Amplified Bible. It says, as for you also, because of and for the sake of the covenant. Now, we are covenant men and women of God. And when we gave our life to Christ, he has covenant on his mind concerning us. And he says that the reason that these things have been done is for because of the covenant. And notice it says that is sealed with the sprinkle. Hold on. It says, as for you also, because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which were sealed with the sprinkling of covenant blood. Jesus' blood sealed and ratified the everlasting covenant, which means it is done. Every single thing that God says belongs to you right now. Jesus' death upon the cross, his shed of his blood, ensured it for you. So there's no reason for you to be in bondage, because the blood of Jesus sets you free. Amen. You've been redeemed from every curse that the law has offered. Amen. But then if you keep reading, it says, I have released and sent your imprisoned people out of the wildest pit. Now, back in Jeremiah, I was talking about captivity. Captivity would mean you were a prisoner. Well, here it is saying right here is, before the sake of covenant, I've released every single one of my people out of the pit, out of a waterless pit. Now, to understand that statement, you have to understand a waterless pit. And I use the example of a swimming pool. Take about a 13-foot pool, a 15-foot pool, a 24-foot pool. If there was no water in it and there was no ladder in it and you was in that pool, how would you get out? If there's no ladder for you to climb or scale the wall, you can't get out of out of that pool. It's just, you just stuck. But let somebody put some water in that pool, you float to the top and you're able to get out a scaffold over the sides, right? So what is God saying here? He said, look here, I put my water. What is this water? The word of God. I've totally filled your life with the word. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the word. So when you got saved, he totally filled your life with the word. And if you would benefit from what's in you, you've been released out of the waterless pit. See, at first you was in the pit, didn't have any hope. There was no expectation in life. But when Jesus entered into your life, he is the water of the word. Your whole life now is being flushed, if you'll let him flush it. Amen. So now he's released you out of the waterless pit. The word of God is in you. And that's why we need to get into a point of being renewed by God's word. See, you will never, ever reach the point of fully fulfilling potential in your life as long as you're tied down to sin and weights of the world. But if you let that water of the word continue to wash and to cleanse you and to replenish you and to nourish you, you begin to grow. And then what begins to happen is illumination happens. Then your mind opens up. And what you saw hopeless begins, you begin to see light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. And then it says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope, or you prisoners of expectation. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Now, when he releases you from the waterless pit, you have to do something. This is why I said you don't get saved and sit down. It says, once he's released you from the waterless pit, it's your job to do what? Return unto your stronghold and your prosperity. Well, who's your stronghold? Jesus Christ. Who is your prosperity? Jesus Christ. I come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. So when you get born again, you don't stop. What you do is you return. And how do you return? You return through the word of God. You return by renewing your mind. You return unto your stronghold. And if you, when you start returning to your stronghold, the Bible says when you draw nigh to him, he does what? He draws nigh to you and to your walking hand in hand. And when he's walking with you, I guarantee you that he knows where your final expectation, your final destination is going to be. The Holy Spirit will take you to the place that you need to be. Amen. Now, it says here, and I want to look at one more phrase before we move on. It says, you prisoners of hope. It's return unto your stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope, or you prisoners of expectations. Now, instead of being a captive in the world, you are captive in God's love. When you were in the world, you were tied to fear. The devil had you in bondage to fear. You was a prisoner to fear, and all that fear had and was ravishing your life. But over here, you are a captive, or you are now a voluntary prisoner of God's love. Amen. You are choosing to be a prisoner to God's love because of him. He loves you and you love him. Amen. It's no different than when I got married and I stood up and I gave my vows. You said for life, for death, for better or worse, to death do us part. Well, I was consciously making a commitment to my wife. I was willingly making that commitment to my wife. So what I was actually doing is I was joining myself to my wife and I was being captivated by her. Amen. And same thing with me. Same thing happens when you get born again. You enter into a position willingly. See, because when you enter into it, see, I entered into it willingly. So, I can't get 10 years down the line and say, woman, you tricked me. Nah. And see, God's the same way. He puts it all on the line. Blam, that's why when you get ready to get married, you don't hide stuff. Sit down, talk about it. So that's what God did. God knew who you was, knew how bad you were, and he knew all your sins and everything about you. And when you gave your life to Christ, he accepted you, you accepted him, and you entered into a covenant relationship. And now you guys are prisoners of that bond, of that commitment that you made. God is bound to you because he cannot break his word, and you're bound to him. Why? Because you entered into covenant with him. And we talked about that once before. Covenant can only be broken by death. So now we're in covenant relationship with him. And he said it's because of the covenant blood, the covenant that was sprinkled with covenant blood. So now it says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of expectation. Now look at Romans 5:5 right quick. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 5th verse, and it reads, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now look what the Amplified Bible says. "Such hope," or "such expectation, never disappoints or deludes or shames us." When your expectation and your hope, when you've returned unto Jesus Christ and your expectation and your hope is in him, it maketh not ashamed. The Bible says that it does not disappoint you. God's love will never disappoint you. It will never bring you to a point of delusion. It'll never bring you to a point of shame. You will never have to worry about walking in a position of shame when you're walking with God, because he knows the path for you to walk on. And it's his job to take you from one level of glory to the next one. And I guarantee you, if you follow the Holy Spirit, you will not end up in shame. You will not end up in disappointment. If you end up in shame and disappointment, it's because you did your own thing and you told the Holy Spirit, "I'm big and bad enough to lead and guide my own self. Thank you. I don't need your help." But when you're following the Holy Spirit and you're doing what the Holy Spirit say do, and you're being led by the Spirit of God, I promise you, I can guarantee you, based upon this scripture from the Word of God, that you'll never find yourself in shame. You will never find yourself in a position of disappointment or delusion, because there is no delusion in God. He is love. Amen. And it goes on to say, I lost my page. It goes on and says, "For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given unto us." So we have all of God's love in us, and we have entered into a covenant relationship with him, and we are bound to it by blood. There's blood between me and him. Amen. There's blood between you and him. You can't break the covenant. Amen. And back to the thing of the marriage. Back in the old days, see, we use rings now for marriage. But back then, this is the reason people get into marriages and they get divorced and they get married and get divorced. They don't understand the significance of it. Marriage is a blood covenant agreement. And the reason I'm using this example, so you can see how important or how serious God is when it comes to the covenant that we have with him. I want to use the marriage. When they got married in the olden days, they didn't put a ring on. They took and cut around their finger, both husband and wife, and they joined together in blood. See, the Bible says without shedding blood, there's no covenant. So they entered into a blood covenant agreement. And then there's another way that it was happening. That's why if you're a virgin in the room, please trust God, believe God, stay a virgin, because it's significant. Why? Because when you get married on your married night, there's a thin layer called a hymen over the vagina. And the Bible says when it's pierced, well, the Bible doesn't say, but when the science says when it's pierced, blood falls. It's sealing. It's consummating the marriage. And it was so serious in the Old Testament back with the Jews to if they did not have a bloody sheet on their wedding night, that thing was done. Stoned her to death. She lied. And that's how serious God is with us. When we got born again, we entered into a blood covenant that was shed. Jesus Christ shed his blood for us to enter into. And the Bible said God is serious about it, and he expects us to be serious about it too. That's why it's deep. When you don't want to give your life to Christ and you want to do something contrary to what God wants you to do, you end up in, God ain't playing about you going to hell. No, you will go. Because he's serious about the covenant. He's serious about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. All right? So when you get released from the waterless pit, when he releases you from the captivity of the world, or from being in prison or being ensnared through fear and death and destruction, all of that, when he releases you from that, don't just stop. Return. Get up. Change your position, your posture in life. Return to your stronghold of security and prosperity, which is Jesus. He shed his blood for you to do it. And then begin to open your mouth up and declare, Father, you said that when I return to you, that you're going to render double everything that I forfeited in life. Amen? All right. So now, we've been released. There's no need for us to live our lives in bondage anymore. As a born-again believer, the only thing should be on your mind is completing the purpose in which I was birthed into the earth to do. That should be the quest of your life, to fulfill your God-given potential in life. Amen? It should be on your mind every single day, because that's what pleases God. See, God get his pleasure out of you doing what he birthed you to do. The Bible said Jesus was well pleasing to him. This is my well-beloved son, who am I well pleased in. Why? Because Jesus has submitted unto the word and was willing to walk the path that God created for him to walk. And that it should be the focus of our life, because it was the focus of Jesus. Every single thing that Jesus did, he did to accomplish and to complete the destiny that he was put here in the earth to do. He had, you know, if you're going to get tunnel vision, he had tunnel vision. All he saw, I'm going to the cross. Now, all this other stuff that I do along the way is just the benefit of me being here, but my destination is that cross. And I'm going to it because that's going to please my Father, and not only to please my Father, it's going to help man, and my daddy loves humanity. So our minds should be the same way. I'm born again for somebody else. I'm not born again for myself. I'm not born again just to come to church and have church, praise and worship and sing, go home and sit down. Somebody need me. Somebody's waiting for me. There's some soul out there right now that's locked up in jail that's waiting for me to show up to deliver for the Lord to use me to help deliver them. There's somebody right now got a gun laying on the table, ready to blow their brains out, waiting for you to come say, there's a better way. There's somebody that's thinking about jumping off the top of the Paseo Bridge and killing themselves, waiting for you. And then there's some people that's getting ready to get in marriages that don't need to be in certain marriages. There's people that's getting ready to make deals, don't need to make certain deals. There are people waiting for you who God has empowered so that when you show up as a seed in their life, you can show them the way and cause their heart to give thanksgiving and praise to God too. And that should be your mindset. You should be excited about that. I am. I give God praise every single time I look at some of you guys in here because of the way God brought this thing to pass in my life. God worked at Penn Valley. I didn't want to work at Penn Valley, but praise and thanks be to God that I went on through Penn Valley. Because if I hadn't went through Penn Valley, then there's some souls that sit in the ministry right now. Now let's just for instance, you know, I'm taking a little time, but I'm trying to show you. I'm really trying to, at the end of this, sow this home in your life. When I accepted to go into the ministry, well, let me back up before that. We had this. We had purpose in our heart to leave Kansas City, and we tried. Believe me, we tried. But everywhere we went, the Holy Spirit wouldn't give us peace about it. So we ended up. We said, "Okay, we'll stay." So we joined a ministry and thought that's where we was going to end up. But that wasn't where the Lord wanted us at. The Lord said, "No, I want you to start your own ministry." So I said, "We fought it for a while." Finally, I said, "Okay." Now I was working on a job, and the job, you know, some things happened and ended. And God and the Holy Spirit kept pulling me to go over to Penn Valley to work, but I didn't want to go to Penn Valley and work. I just didn't want to do it. But the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, and she began to shut doors. Now, I could have been rebellious and just flat out didn't do it. But after beginning to shut doors and everything, I said, look, I'll go to Penn Valley. And I went over to Penn Valley. Then the Lord called for us to start a ministry. So we started a ministry. And now I'm at Penn Valley, and we have a ministry. Now, I'm showing you divine destiny. And now, one day, I see a young lady stand at the back door, And I walk up and say what the Holy Spirit says, say to say to her, you know, and I moves on. Little did I know, she'd be a member of Works of Faith Ministries. We didn't have a Works of Faith Ministries like we got now at that point. But there she sits today. Not only her. I invite another young lady. We just, you know, shooting the breeze, you know, between the doors at work. Come to church. You know how you're in it, you know. She showed up at church, gave her life to Christ, got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here she says today, there's her father, there's her mother-in-law, there's her cousin, and there's her other cousin back there, sister-in-law, whoever. They all here because of her.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, if I had not went through Penn Valley, now I'm not saying that God couldn't have done his work. He could have. But if I had not went through Penn Valley, where would she be at this time? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's his Ruby back there. I'm sorry. See, now where would she be? And then where would her daughter, other daughter, be? I'm going to show you something. Where would she be? And then where would she be? Him. It's all connected, people. And when you do the thing, see, I didn't understand why I had to go to Penn Valley and work. But God knew why I had to go to Penn Valley and work. Now, that's just them. There's other people that we've planted seeds in over there. And I'm believing God for a harvest. I got a woman, there's a woman who worked there every day telling me, I know God sent you here. I know God sent you here. I just know he did. I'll tell her the truth. I mean, a woman come ask me something, I'll hit her with the truth. She don't like it sometimes, but I tell her anyway. But and it causes respect to be there. But that's walking in my destiny. Now, where is yours? What is your purpose in life? What life have you affected? Because, you know, when Jesus walked his destiny, Jesus touched a lot of people. The disciples touched a lot of people. Paul touched a lot of people. And God's expecting us to touch a lot of people. Amen. We've been commissioned to go. And if you don't walk in your destiny and don't go anywhere, then what life is going to be left in bondage, in captivity to the world because you refuse to show up? Amen. So now, when I decide to get in line with God and decide to walk the path that God had for me to walk on, it began to produce fruit. Now, this is how you do it. Amen. You have to start renewing your mind with God's word. Amen? Let's look at that. After you get born again and you figure out that there's purpose and there's potential in you, and after you get into all those wonderful things and the Lord starts showing you stuff and you start seeing glimpses into your life, then you have to do something. Because the scripture says to return unto your stronghold, your of security and prosperity. Well, you can't physically go sit with Jesus. I mean, you can't physically right now go sit down beside Jesus on the throne. But you can spiritually, you can do it. Amen. Let's read Romans, the first chapter, I mean, second, 12th chapter, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Whose job, whose responsibility is it to present their body? It's yours. God is not going to come snatch the devil out of you. If you want the devil to sit in fellowship with you, he'll let him sit right there in fellowship with you. Because when he gave you, when you got born again, he put all the power and the potential to do everything that you need done in your life for you to take the authority. Amen? So you can't say, well, I can't help it. You can give it up right now because that ain't going to fly. I'm sorry. There's power in you. And if he says present your body living sacrifice, he wasn't saying, you know, he wasn't making a suggestion. He's giving you a command. Do it if you want me. Amen. And it says, holy and acceptable to God. And it says it's your reasonable service. Then it says, and be not now. He tells you how to do it. And be not conformed to this world. And but be ye transferred by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Amplified Bible, those same two scriptures says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and beg of you in the view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive decision of dedication of your body, presenting all your members and faculties. presenting all your members and faculties. He didn't say show up and speak in tongues on Sunday and then take your body and lay it next to somebody on Monday. He didn't say show up and praise God and worship God on Sunday and then go hit the club Sunday night. Get drunk, get high. He says present all your members and all your faculties unto him. Amen. And then it says, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service of spiritual worship. So now, born-again believer, I mean, your reasonable, intelligent, and rational worship should be me presenting my life to God on a daily basis. It shouldn't be on a Sunday morning and a Tuesday you want to get holy. No, you should live a life of holiness. You should, and see, the word holiness means being in agreement with God's word. So your life should be in agreement with God's word. If you are not in agreement with God's word, and you live in something else on Tuesday, I mean on Monday, and something on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, don't expect to show up on Sunday morning and just get slain in God's spirit. Don't expect to get this great awakening to your destiny. You're confused. You are confusing yourself. Amen. Now, this is how you do it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself. Not prove for me. See, you ain't trying to prove nothing to me. I care about what you're doing. But I can't put you in hell. I can't destroy your body. I can't destroy your soul. But God got the power to lock it up forever. Amen. So you're trying not to, you're trying to do it and see what's acceptable, what's pleasing in his sight, not mine. My sight is just, you know, hey. But it says, by his new ideas and his new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. If you want to know what God's perfect will is, present your body a sacrifice to him. Start renewing your mind unto the word of God. Amen. Now drop down. Let's read verse 3. Verse 3 says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according to God, who has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you got born again, everything that God was and is and will be lives in you. He is all faith. He is faith. He uses faith. He is faith. He works by faith, works by everything that has to do with faith, works by him. So he says, now, and he can say, I've dealt to every man the measure of faith. Why? Because I put myself in there. So when you present your body and renew your mind, what you do is the faith that rests in your spirit is released to your mind, and then you begin to see clearly. The problem with the most believers is they can't see clearly because they have not taken what's in them in their spirit and allowed it to come up into their mind where they can use it. As long as the power stays in your spirit, man, and your mind never receives the information, it does not become, it's unavailable to you. Because your soulish man is where you operate from. So you have a spirit that deals with spiritual things. You have a body that deals with the physical things. And you have a soul that helps you function. It stands in the center and it helps you function. The spirit man gives a command. And if your mind's in line and in tune with God's word, what happens? You go the way of the spirit, you function. If your body gives a command and you ain't paying no attention to the word, you ain't read none, you ain't praying, your body says do, then what happens? Your mind turns your body and it goes in the way of the world. So your operator, your operator, part of you, the soulish man, where your feeler, your thinker, your chooser resides at, is the operating part of man. And when you open up your spirit and get all of the wealth that God has placed down in there and get it flowing up and out, then you can operate, and then your life begins to take on meaning and focus, and you find yourself walking a path that God has predestined for you to walk in the name of Jesus. Amen. But you have to present your body unto God to do that. You have to renew your mind with God's word, Bible study, You know, and I'm not just talking about on Tuesday nights, Bible study at home. You know, you need to be reading something. You need to be meditating upon something. We're talking about how to get to destiny. Folks, you won't make destiny is not going to come just say, ding, 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 here I am. Ding, 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 here I am. Because even if it did stand, even if your destiny did walk right up in front of your face and go ding, 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 you wouldn't even recognize it. Why? Because you don't know what it, that's the devil. How you know it's the devil? You haven't even spent enough time over here with God to be able to discern between good and evil. How you going to tell what's the devil and what's God? See, I didn't want to go to Penn Valley. I couldn't say, that's the devil trying to get me back over there. That's going backwards. Because I had worked there, and I had been gone for 10 years, didn't want to go back. But I could have said, that's that devil, and I'm not going back over there. That's taking me backwards. And just missed it. But see, you got to be willing to be led by God. And that only happens when you are renewed, when your mind and your spirit are connected to where the word of God is. You understand the word of God. You recognize the word of God when you hear it. And the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. They recognize it. And a stranger they will not follow. And see, when you've meditated, when you spend time in prayer and in fellowship with God, and the Holy Spirit speaks in a whisper most of the time. And you have to be spiritually keened up to hear it. Now, when the Holy Spirit starts shouting at you, that's because you dull and you can't hear. And he got to get your attention because you're getting ready to fall off the cliff. But most of the time, you know, you're driving and you just hear this faint whisper. It'll save your life if you're listening. But if your spirit man has not been trained, if your soulish man hasn't been trained to hear your spirit, then you're in trouble. So that's why you have to renew your mind, present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. Amen. All right, let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 18, and find out why. Why do I need to be renewed in my mind? Well, he tells you. First chapter, Ephesians 1, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, his inheritance in the saints. The Amplified Bible says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope or the expectation to which you have been called. There's an expectation to everyone, and when you've had the eyes of your understanding enlightened, you will begin to see the expectation to which he's called you. And not only that, it says, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. You'll begin to know how much God has invested into your life. You'll begin to see, okay, destiny will take, if I get into destiny and I start following God, there's gain. And let's just be honest, you know, we get all scared, it's taboo, talk about gain. What other reason did you give your life to Christ for than the gain? You was already over here on your way to hell. So I get bored. Somebody came and said, God is good. He'll save your soul. Heaven is your home. So what did you do? You got born again to gain all that God was, right? So when I get walking with God, I can't help but to get in the game. And the Bible says that when your mind and the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened, you will understand the expectation to your calling upon you, what you've been called to do, and you will understand the inheritance in the glorious inheritance that he's in the saints that he's invested into your life. And you will understand the path, you will understand the purpose, you will understand what it's for. Financial gain is a part of it. Physical gain is a part of it. Spiritually gain is a part of it. But it all takes its perspective, and you'll use it in its proper places, and it'll minister to the lives of people, and you'll take it, and you'll help God build sanctuaries, and day by day, your life will be being transformed into the very image of God. And you'll begin to reflect God in the earth. That's the purpose that he has, why he left you here, to be a reflection of him in the earth. I said on last week, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. It's supposed to be the exact same way with us. When you see me, you see Jesus. So if you're seeing Jesus, you're seeing who? The Father. So as a born-again believer, our lives are supposed to continuously, day by day, radiate the glory of God every day. You ought to show up into a room in order to brighten. You ought to show up into a room in order to the atmosphere just change. Just automatically change. Just because you showed up in the room. Because when you showed up, God came with you. And when you leave, if they don't get right, God leave with you if you didn't plant no seeds there. Now, if you showed up in a room and you all bent out of shape, evil, talking all crazy, cussing, cheating, robbing, and stealing. I'm talking about as a born-again believer. I'm not talking about as unsafe. I'm talking about born-again believer. You show up in the room, well, what's going to happen? Nothing. It'd be just as dark as it, and pray, God forbid, it'd be darker. And then when you leave, no seeds was planted. And I was, you know, and I had to repent a few times, especially because when I first started getting to this, I would go places and be there all day and don't sit, and I would be noticing at some of the jobs I worked on. But I talked about all kind of stuff all day and never once mentioned the name of Jesus one time. And the Holy Spirit got on me one day after I left a scene like that, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, you've been in this place now for 8 hours. And these people have been sitting in your presence for 8 hours, and you never introduced them to me. You never opened your mouth up and shared my goodness once. So your life has been useless today. Now that was kind of hard. That kind of hurt. He says you've been a useless, unproductive child today. So every time you go somewhere and your light's not shining, you're a useless, unproductive person that day in the body of Christ. I mean, that's something to think about. You went somewhere for 8 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, however many hours you was there. Did you sow seeds? Now, I'm not talking about money right now. I'm talking about did you sow the word of God? Because the word of God is a seed. Did you sow? We're talking about walking in divine destiny. This is that. This is, see, there's no, if you're not going to be a soul winner for God, then what is the point? And so he said to me, you've been here all day, 8 hours, and you never once opened your mouth and said, I want.